All right, good singing all the way around. I got the button pushed. Is that it? Yeah, here we go. That's a good deal. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. And I appreciate all the good singing, how my heart is thrilled and with the songs of Zion and all of that business there. And certainly, as we look back on days gone by, and we certainly thank God for not only you here, but all other voices and other talents that have helped us get to here. All right, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13, if you look there, the Bible said, "In whom also ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and how we do thank You now for the goodness of God and the grace of God that led and brought and great gave us repentance and faith. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Help us, I pray now, to exalt and magnify Your name with our lip and life. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Thank You, and be seated. I want to preach on the gospel of Christ, on your gospel. Did you notice that whenever He said that? He said that when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now I want to tell you something, is that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And let me tell you what the gospel is. It's explained in the Scripture. It's the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sin. It's His burial in the tomb and His resurrection the third day that we might be saved by the grace of God. That's the gospel, if you will, please. But now, when I heard the gospel as a kid growing up, I believed the story. I believed the record or the account that was given. But yet it had not become my own until the day that God made it personal unto me. You're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God. It's your personal salvation that God's talking about. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that God never misses the link. You're going to find out that we've come to church over and over again, and we already know God's in control. Everything's running right on time. But let me tell you something, is that He is the origin of the gospel. Now, it's a New Testament word. You won't find it in the Old Testament. It's a New Testament word. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me say to you that everything begins with God and everything will end with God. And whenever you got saved by the grace of God, He put His stamp and seal of approval upon you that'll last forever. Somebody said years ago while they were preaching that it's like when a man's going to get married and he puts a ring on that girl's finger, an engagement ring, but that's not the ultimate end, that He's coming back. And let me tell you right now, is that the Spirit of God that sealed us under the day of redemption, He's coming back again, and there's going to be a marriage and a marriage supper and the marriage lamb. And let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled about how good God's been, what God's done, what He's going to do, and what He will do for you even now in this hour that we're living in. I begin to think about sometimes that people are always, you know, they come and sit and they think, well, you know, it's just like it was before. No, it's not. It's one day closer than it's ever been. And make no mistake about it, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again, He's going to come, buddy, and take us out as a bride that's adorned for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Whenever God says it's your gospel, is it yours this morning? See, it better be. If it's not yours personally, then something's radically wrong in your life. And you're here this morning, then God confronts you face to face with what have you done with the gospel? What have you done about it? I heard it several times whenever I was a kid growing up. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We even went on business meeting night. It was a hoot, let me tell you right now. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and know that we may hear the gospel one time, but we may hear it many times. But, buddy, I'm not talking about just every time that we ever came to church and it was over our head and went another direction or we went another direction. But I want to say to you that when you got saved by the grace of God, you came face to face with you and God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. What'd you do with it? Well, I repented toward God because He gave me repentance. And I had faith in what God had done because He gave me faith to believe Him. That's what he talks about, repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking about, you know, that these boys and girls that are singing for the Lord and witnessing for the Lord and testifying and taking part and all of that business there. What a good thing that is to be able to see your children grow up in the love and nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a good thing that it is for them to come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. Now, I want to say to you that whenever God confronts you with the gospel, it's going to be you and Him alone that you're going to have to do business with. I was thinking about in this lesson that's here, you'll find that God's going to press you and confront you, and you're going to have to make a definite decision. Whenever you got saved, there was a definite about it. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no maybes. I've told you days gone by, you know, I was sitting there in a church, and I was sitting on the same pew that my wife was on, and that her brother was on, and that his brother's girlfriend, I guess at that time, was just a girlfriend, and that he was on. And I was thinking to myself, somebody on this pew is really getting disturbed. Somebody sitting on the same pew that I'm on. I wish they'd sit somewhere else because it's a distraction to me. And I realized, it wasn't my brother-in-law, and it wasn't his girlfriend, and it wasn't my... Why, it was me, O Lord, that was standing in the need of prayer. I came to recognize and know that, hey, I was lost and undone without God. I'd been religious all of my life. I knew how to quote Romans 10, 9 through 13, but I had never come to a definite decision with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this day, I'm about to. I will say to you that, if you will, I used to go home and I'd lay there in my bed. And man, I'd be under such conviction, I just couldn't hardly stand it. I got to thinking, I'm going to have to move from here. If I keeps on like this, I'm not getting any sleep whatsoever. I'd drive to work and see churches that God would smite my heart about and say, I'm going to put you in my family and I'm going to put you... I didn't know what he was doing. I want to say to you that it was good to be saved and to finally come to know him in the free pardon of sin. You know, when the Lord does something and saves you, he'll do something for you. And let me tell you something, he's not just going to do something for you today, but it's going to be lasting for all eternity. And you know, ever since the day that I got washed by the blood, born into the family of God, I've not been sorry that I'm a Christian. I've met a lot of sorry Christians, but I've never been sorry, you know, that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that he found me and that he snatched me as a brand from the burning. You may have similar testimony yourself. What a good thing that it is to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. I got to say to you that here's what we're looking at here. He's talking about in whom that you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, you know why that means more is because it's personal unto you and I, and we know exactly what God has done. Others can see the difference that God's made in our lives. Others can see the difference God's made in your life. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, it's a personal salvation that God has given us. And not only that, but let me tell you, is that you'll find that there's a path that God said. If you were to read over to Ephesians 6 and about verse number 15, is that whenever he put us on the right path. And let me say to you, I'm glad that our feet's been shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Since the day I got saved, since the day you got saved, our feet have been shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. You know, you can't help but talk about him. I've been on the job before, you know, and of course, you know, when you work on a lot of these jobs, you're having to work around a bunch of God-cussing heathens that it may be your lip and your life that witnesses unto them. But you'll find out you're working around some people that are not Sunday school material. And let me say to you that that's fine, because you can be a witness. What's not fine if you go to church on Sunday and you're a God-cussing heathen on Monday. And what happens is, no wonder that the world is going to hell and don't want nothing to do with what we've got. You see, you can be a hindrance or you can be a help, just depend. Now, I'm not saying that to you so that you'll start acting better. I'm saying that to you so it exposes you that something's radically wrong in your life. Religion will never change that for you. I want to tell you what will change it is whenever Jesus Christ becomes your personal Lord and Savior. And the gospel is personally something that is yours that you may claim. Notice what he said again, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I want to tell you something, is that we've heard the story over and over again, but until you believe it, like the passage said, till it becomes real to you, becomes personal to you, it'll never change your life, and your path will be pretty much the same as it's always been. I begin to look into this lesson that's here. You're going to find out is that this definite decision that we're talking about is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look in chapter number 2 and about verse number 10, same book of Ephesians. He said, "For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, let me tell you something about the ordination of God, about the ordained thing of God, is that when you get saved, you're going to walk with him. You're going to worship him. You're his workmanship. And you're going to worship him and magnify Christ. And others can see it. Others can hear it. Because that you've been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. And I want to tell you something. Somebody said, "Well, I know some Christians that aren't like that." No, you don't. If you're saved, it's an ordained thing from God that he's got to walk, that others can see Jesus in you. And the Bible said he's ordained some works in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he said, "Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I'll tell you, if you're a child of God, you can tell it by your tongue and you can tell it by your walk. Just make no mistake about it. Now, I realize to know that every now and again is that we're but flesh. And every now and again, you know, you may need to get a good old-fashioned bar of American soap and wash your mouth out. But that ought not to be something every day in your life. That ought not to be something all the time. You ought not to make yourself feel good and feel about yourself just because you cuss a little. Now, I realize that, oh, you may say something that'll make you fly off the handle and say something you're sorry for before God you shouldn't have said. But let me tell you, that ought not to be a habit of your life. I mean, others ought to be able to tell, and especially around your children. See? You know, that our lives ought to be as such to where that if there's going to be anybody point a finger, they won't be able to point at us and say, "Well, what have you got? What have you got?" Let me just tell you right up front. I've got some kin folks, and I've got some people that I consider to be friends or friendly. And let me say to you that, if you will, please, the only difference between what we've got and what they've got is that our life is not just a Sunday thing and then Monday's all over new. It's a Monday through Sunday thing. It's from Monday to Saturday and then starts over again on Sunday. See? I used to ask some every now and again, "Let me ask you this. You say you're saved. Yeah. You hardly ever go to church. Yeah. You got every excuse you can ever come up with. And let me just ask you this. What is it you got that's more than that religious person that goes to church every now and again, except you go a little more regular?" Well, there ought to be something more that can be said for us. Our lip, our life, our heart's desire. Our treasure is in heaven. There's a passage that we ought to be looking at over there that whenever you begin to see that and realize that, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ confronts man. And the reason being is that because of the fact that he is the one that died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, resurrected the third day. Over in the book of Mark in chapter number 1, the Bible said about verse number 15, now John the Baptist is his forerunner. This is Mark in chapter 1. It's going to be about verse 15 where we're looking at it. And when you look into the passages there, you're going to find that John's already been locked up in prison. And so Jesus in verse 14 is coming and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now watch this. And saying, here's what he said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." When God gives you repentance and faith, you'll believe in the finished work of Christ. There's a passage over there in the book of 1 Thessalonians or 2nd one. Maybe it's in 2 Thessalonians. I'll give you a moment to find it, because we want to find him. And let me tell you something, what God's going to do is that when God reaches down to snatch you as a brand from the burning, He'll save your soul. And you hear me say it often, and because it is so, but you'll hear Him saying that He's going to save you from the guttermost to the uttermost, and He'll change your heart and your life. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In 1 Thessalonians, there's a passage over there that we want to look at it. And the Bible said there in verse number 11. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and about verse number 11. The Bible said, as ye know how we exhort and comfort and charge every one of you that as a father doeth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, who God hath called you into the kingdom of his glory. And for this cause we thank God without ceasing, because that when we receive the word of God, see, well, that's what you've got to do, receive what God said, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now look in 2 Thessalonians, and over there in chapter number 2, and we'll take up reading about verse number 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 9. Somebody's going to come along one of these days, and they're going to give you some kind of poison doctrine that all the hard shell, all that bunch there, I call them hard-headed Baptists, they believe what is to be will be and what ain't to be won't be. If you're born to go to heaven, you will. If you're born to go to hell, ain't nothing you can do about it. That's just a lie spawned from hell. And I want to tell you right now that when you begin to look there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I'm going to ask you a question now. We're going to answer it with that. Why was it these people that had heard the word of the Lord and yet they died and perished without hope and without God? Why was that? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I wonder why God didn't say, well, because they were born to go to hell and ain't nothing they can do about it. See, that verse makes that a lie for somebody to believe that. And the Bible says in verse 10, let's look at it again, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they would believe a lie, and that they all might be damned because they believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what makes people not receive the Lord? Well, they got some fun in the sun that they want to be able to have, and they're feeling like that God's going to get in their way, and God will get in their way. You know, not every time that I wake up, and on Sunday morning, not every time when I wake up do I feel as good and spry and sassy and all of that business there. But let me tell you, God's ever, you know, in all these years that we've been here, and I don't know, it's 30 plus now, whenever that it was, but let me just tell you right up front, is that we've seen a lot of people come and we've seen a lot of people go, but God's ever been the same. He's always been the same. I'm not saying that it doesn't have some effect on us. Sure it does. But I'm just trying to tell you that we finally have to rise above whatever it is that has an effect on us and realize and know that He is altogether lovely. And everything He's doing is running right on time. I got to tell you something, is that when you've been in this thing as long as I have, I've seen a lot of things in churches that went on, including in our own. And I'm not talking about here, but I've seen a lot of things that wouldn't do to paint on an overpass. I'm talking about, you just have to remember and to know that we're here because of the fact that God reached down and snatched us one day as a brand from the burning, saved our soul, put our feet upon the solid rock Christ Jesus, and established our going. Now, if you're real, you won't fizzle out. If you aren't real, then it's been nice knowing you, and you'll fizzle out down the road somewhere sooner or later. But if you're really real, and I believe you are, I'm not surprised to see any one of you here. I got to say to you, there's been some others in days gone by in 30 years, I was surprised at their response, but I'm not surprised at you being faithful to God, because you know why? Your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness and your evidence that you received your gospel. His gospel has now become your gospel. And as a result of that, we're born and washed by the blood and born into the family of God. I once was lost. Thank God now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. As I look into this thing that's here, and I begin to realize and know that the gospel, you know what the world needs more than anything? They need to hear the true gospel. I'm not just talking about going through the motions of it. I'm talking about the gospel that brings them and confronts them with a definite decision. I was watching a fellow by the name of, let's see here, what was his name? Well, I can't remember his name. He played Cool Hand Luke, and one of them Cool Hand Luke guys. What's his name? Paul Newman is it. Give that lady a ticket for the next free movie that comes out. Paul Newman in Cool Hand Luke, you know. And he was cool now. When it opens up, he's got a big old pipe cutter, and he's cutting heads off of parking meters in town. He's already cut off, I don't know, 15 or 20 before they arrest him. And he gets 2 years in the pen, so forth and on. But old Paul Newman is at a, I liked him. I think he's talented and all this business there. But he's also lost and undone without God. Somebody had brought him a banjo, I guess it was in the family, and that's all he was going to get out of the inheritance. And he was sitting there picking the banjo and playing something about, I'm not something, I'll not be weary, because I've got the Virgin Mary assuring me that I won't have to go to hell. I was listening to that song. Catchy little tune. And I thought to myself after that it was said and done, well, Paul, I bet you know something different now. It's too late now, isn't it? And it's not because that he hadn't heard something somewhere by somebody about the gospel. It's just the devil wanted to feed him Romanism's perverted version of the gospel. Now, you know, when you say that, and you can't say that everywhere without getting some flack. It's easy to preach that here, but you can't just preach that anywhere. If you do, you're going to meet some hostility. One of the things that I like to do is whenever Mr. Trump comes on TV, I like to turn him off, because I'm afraid if I keep listening to him, he's going to make me not want to vote for him. I'm going to vote for him, but I'm telling you, talk about a guy full of self. He is. I can tell you right now, yes, Mr. Elon Musk, here's what he said, and say this in a crowd. There's Kamala. She's got an Indian parent. I want to say that it was the mother, and a Jamaican daddy, if I got it right. I may have it backwards. How is it you take an Indian mama and a Jamaican daddy in and come out with a black woman? I mean, really, do you know the answer to that? Because obviously Elon Musk don't know the answer. I'm glad he says it. When Mr. Trump, somebody said, yeah, he'd do better if he didn't get up and just run them down and call her names. That's only part of his speeches I like when he's calling her names. But it's probably not helping his cause any. I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that when God saved your soul, He confronted you with a definite decision. There's been many people been confronted with the gospel of message of Christ who will die without hope, who will die without God, who will die and buzz tail wide open, as the old saying goes. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You ever have anybody just walk up to you and look at you and say, you make me sick and I wish you'd die? Well, it's because you hadn't pastored in a 92% Roman Catholic town, because I've had that more than one occasion. There's nothing a mama that's Roman Catholic dyed in the wool. There's nothing she hates more than somebody witnessing to her family and Christ saving them and making a change in their heart and their life. I want to say, as we get ready to close, is that whenever you're saved by the grace of God, is that you'll become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I used to get a call every now and again. Now, I don't get as many anymore. They don't know my phone number, and I've got caller ID. And so if you're not in there, you're going to have to leave a message. And all that business there. But I used to get nasty calls, you know. Man, they'd say obscene things. And they'd tell me how bad they hated me. And they wished I'd leave town and all that stuff right there. And I got news for you, honey. I wanted to leave worse than they wanted me to. But as a result, I'd always just said, Lord, what are we doing here? Have you got some knucklehead? I've had them drive up the driveway before. I want to tell you, preacher, you're not welcome in my garden. Huh. And then I'm thinking, you just wanted me dead a few days ago. Is that where you plan on burying me? In your garden? I got to say to you in closing that if you will, please, when God saved your soul, He'll change you, make a new creature out of you, and you'll pass from death into life, from ruination to righteousness. And let me tell you something, the gospel's the power of God unto salvation. And I don't care how much a person is educated. I don't care how good they are socially. I don't care how popular that they may or may not be. None of that won't matter when you stand before God. What will matter is what you've done with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Now, you ought to be busy about the Father's business, no doubt about that. But let me just say to you, that's all that's going to matter. Is that when we stand before God, is that what have you done with Christ? What have you done? Have you received Him or have you refused Him? Is that very simple? Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our musicians come. We're going to have our song director. And as we get ready to sing an invitation song, maybe there's somebody you'd like to pray for. Maybe you'd like to pray about yourself. Maybe whatever it is that God's been tugging at your heartstrings. This might be the day that you say, preacher, I'm going to submit my life to the Lord. I'm going to be saved by the grace of God. I want to follow the Lord in baptism, whatever the need is that God knows and you know. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon this sermon as we get ready to depart from here. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that you've been knocking on their heart's string and heart's door. May you give them the grace and faith to believe you and to open up and receive you in the free pardon of sin. Whatever the need is, Lord, thou knowest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?